Oi, oi, and welcome to the Orient Outlook podcast with myself, Steve Nussbaum, and as always, my good friend, South Stand chum, bearded legend, the tabloid inferno, Mr. Paul Levy.
Tabloid inferno, come on now. Why can't we just have a quiet week? Why is a normal week for us hectic, chaotic, and dramatic? Welcome back, everybody. This is episode number 92, but before we crack on with all the news from the past week, we'd just like to thank everyone who's listened to our Jay Simpson interview last Monday. Yeah. I last checked the statistics at lunchtime today, and 2,600 people had downloaded or streamed or listened to his interview with us, which is fantastic, absolutely fantastic. So thank you to everybody who has listened. Also, we had 1,210 listens to episode 91, which is a bit of a record as far as we're concerned, because our usual weekly listens are roughly about half of that, which is still great. So thank you to everybody. Obviously, we don't do this for the glory, but it is very rewarding to know that this is reaching the Orient community both far and wide. So, we're also in The Sun today. I don't know what page it is, but someone's picked up on our interview in The Sun.
Yeah.
Don't know how that's happened, but I guess just by searching the hashtag LOFC.
Yeah, I mean, this guy who put it in the paper didn't request anything, it was just in the paper. So when you all saw it on Twitter, we saw it, which was a nice surprise to our Monday morning.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's crack on. So thank you again to everybody who's listened and for all your feedback and everything. We genuinely appreciate it. But, you know, as always, we start our weeks off with our friends over at the Supporters Club.
Yep, so two trips to tell you about as normal. So the coaches are running to Plymouth on Tuesday the 14th of February, which is Valentine's Day, so easy to remember. Coaches will leave at 1 p.m. for a 7:45 kickoff and will cost £30 and £27 for concessions. There's a £3 surcharge to non-members. Coaches are running to Newport also on Saturday the 4th of March, which looks like it will be an absolutely massive game. Coaches will leave Brisbane Road at 8:30 for the 3 o'clock kickoff and £27 cost with £24 for concessions. So you can book at the Supporters Club on match days or by calling the travel line on 07722 135 970. So two big trips there at different ends of the table, but both vital in our season.
All massive points for us that we desperately need. Now, Leighton Orient Trust have given us an update. It says, thanks to Nicky Hunt and Sammy Moore for attending Change for Life event held at the stadium on Tuesday. Over 170 local school children participated in the Healthy Living event in cooperation with Waltham Forest Council, NELFT and Organically, spelt O-R-G-A-N-I-C-L-E-A, and the players helped by answering questions on their diets and exercise regimes, as well as who was their toughest opponent. Another chance for Sammy to tell the Steven Gerrard story. Apparently, he's still in his pocket. Ha ha ha.
Like it.
I haven't heard that one.
It must be from when Wimbledon played Liverpool in the FA Cup a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I would have thought.
Well, an interesting one, and we'll have to obviously get Sammy to tell us about that when he's next on the podcast.
Absolutely,
so.
You know.
Also, Howard says, looking for something to keep the kids busy in February half-term week. Leighton Orient Trust are hosting a Theo's Soccer Skills Holiday Course on Thursday the 16th of February and Friday the 17th of February at the Score Centre, Leighton, opposite the club, from 10 to 3 p.m. for 5 to 13-year-olds. The course focuses on skill development, competitions and small-sided games in a relaxed and fun format. All staff are fully qualified and DBS-covered coaches with the Trust. Participants will receive a couple of tickets to the Notts County match on Saturday, 18th of February, and an opportunity to meet Theo, the mascot. So, again, great work there in the kids in half-term.
Yep, the club will also be running another of its successful stadium tours on Friday, the 17th of February at 11 a.m. Spaces are limited, and for more details or to book, please contact Steve Dixon at s.dixon, D-I-X-O-N, at leightonorient.net.
Now, I haven't seen it advertised anywhere, so I will take that as an Orient Outlook exclusive this evening. So,
dropping bombs everywhere. Right?
Absolutely.
Exclusive bombs.
Absolutely. So next to tell you about is the next Loft meeting. So the Leighton Orient Fans Trust will be holding a special general meeting for members on Thursday, the 2nd of March at 7:45 p.m. at the Leightonstone and District Ex-Servicemen's Club, which is on Harvey Road in Leightonstone. And I think you said it is just off the high road before
it is.
When we spoke.
It's very easy to get to. The meeting is primarily to present a full update on the Trust's recovery plan, work, and for members to vote on a possible fighting fund to be introduced.
Yeah, that's interesting there. So That'll be interesting what they say. A full statement with two resolutions to vote on will be sent to members via email and post within the next week. And the board are currently researching if the meeting can be streamed online for members not able to attend. So obviously we was at the last one, which was at the Birkbeck. It was very, very busy there. And it looks like this time they've got a much bigger place for it and they're looking to stream, which would be very interesting.
Yep. The board are currently researching if the meeting can be streamed online, as we've just said. New members are very much welcome and you can join in one of several ways. You can do it online, www.leightonorientfanstrust.com. You can do it in person at home games by seeing recruitment board member Matt Roper outside the club shop on Oliver Road. If you want to do it by post, you can do it by post. The address is on the website. Or you can come to the meeting and join on the night.
Yep, so membership remains at a minimum of £1 and up to and including Friday 27th of January. The Trust had 634 members, which is just 116 short of the next target to achieve, which is 750 members. So if any supporters, whether members or not, have any comments, questions or ideas, and they can speak to any of the board members at games or by emailing each board member privately through the website or on the general email address, which is leightonorientfanstrust@gmail.com.
Yeah, we also had a number of emails following our episode 91 show. Firstly, from an email that's titled McCallum. It's been a weakness of successive Orient teams in recent years of not having a dominating aerial centre forward who can aggressively attack crosses. Lisby was good in the air, but not a beast. Henderson tried to fulfil that role. McCallum has potential to be a formidable scorer, given the right service. It is a disappointment that we never saw a fluid team with Cox picking out Paul consistently. No forward is going to shine in a team struggling to create, but that doesn't mean they haven't got something to offer. Give Paul your backing and let's hope team confidence and passion can return and power us up this league.
Yeah.
So thanks very much to the anonymous sender there.
Yep, so we also had an email from Glenn Bevan who said, "Hi lads, just thought I'd drop you a quick line. That statement last week was scary. The only thing I can liken our situation to is something like the Apprentice Junior. If you put a dozen 10-year-olds in charge of a football club, you'd expect a statement like that. Nationality has nothing to do with it. These people are totally incompetent. It's clear to me where this will end up, whether it's this year or 5 years down the road. Bichetti will eventually pull the plug. There's no one anywhere in the land is going to take on debts of 10 million plus. I've said it to you guys before, but what we must not forget is that we are Orient. It's not Brisbane Road, it's not the colour red or the name Leighton, it's us. You guys on your podcast are an absolute shining example of what is good about Orient. Whether we are in the 5th tier or 10th tier in 5 years' time, we will still exist because we will still be here. Our parents gave us their Orient memories, we give ours to our children. No one can take away those memories and no stories. We are Orient. I tell you what though, it'd be nice to have one more story, wouldn't it? Up the O's. P.S. just realised this wasn't a quick line. So thank you for your email, Glenn. That was a lovely email, actually. It was nice to read it out loud. That was quite nice.
Yeah, it was really nice, actually. So thanks very much indeed. Monday the 23rd of January, so last Monday, is a quiet day at the club for a change, but a big night for us as we welcome Jay Simpson into Orient Outlook Podcast Towers for an interview to put the record straight and give Jay the chance to give his side of his story following the statement from the club. Jay was genuinely a top guy, very open and very honest. It was really genuinely a pleasure to have him in. If you haven't listened to it yet, shameless plug coming up. You can listen to his interview on iTunes or you can go to soundcloud.com/Orient-Outlook and he will be there.
He was a lovely guy, very down to earth, like you said.
I had
just really easy to talk to. The one negative, though, of the evening was that I forgot to bring my top down from last season that I wanted him to sign, obviously being the top goal scorer last season. So I was gutted, but I'm sure we'll bump into Jay again in the not too distant future.
When he's here on his Hollybobs or something. Okay. I actually thought that he would have a level of arrogance about him that I wouldn't want to, but he didn't have any of that. Completely humble, completely genuine, really nice. Thanked us for allowing him to come into, obviously, essentially your home. 100% spot on bloke.
And I think it was testament
really
that,
nice bloke.
Testament that he came at about 8 o'clock. We didn't even start recording until about 8:45. And
we had a brilliant chat.
Yeah, I mean, again, the podcast finished at 10:40. Well, we stopped recording about 10:45, and he didn't leave till about 11:30. Just chatting, general stuff. Nice guy, yeah.
Just genuine, nice, down to earth bloke, and it is so refreshing because you have this perception of footballers, and we've had quite a few ex Orient players on now, and we started off with Matt Lockwood, and we've gone all the way through the gamut. You know, Kev Lisby played in the Premier League. There's no showmanship about any of these people.
Absolutely.
They are genuine, down to earth, ordinary blokes that live in ordinary houses with ordinary problems. You know. It's brilliant. Absolutely. Can't speak highly enough of Jay and everybody else that we've had on the podcast, really.
Yeah, so brilliant. Tuesday, 24th of January, Andy Edwards reveals to George Sessions that Michael Collins is close to signing a permanent deal at Orient. He went on to say, "I believe a deal to extend Michael's contract is very close to being done. That is what I've been told. Fingers crossed it gets over the line because he's a very important player and a great character to have right now. He's really good to have alongside the younger players and a lot has been spoken about them. But the senior members are the ones who will lead us away from the bottom and guide the youngsters." So good little quote there from Michael.
Yeah, absolutely. At 8 o'clock, Jay Simpson's interview is launched, and it was record amount of listens for any interview we've ever done. So thanks very much to everybody who's listened and for your feedback and comments, as we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, and then Wednesday, 25th of January, and Thursday, 26th of January, don't know what was going on, but it was two very quiet days down at Brisbane Road. Nothing to report, which leads us nicely to Friday, 27th.
It was a calm before the storm.
It was.
Wednesday and Thursday.
It
calm
was.
Before the storm.
It was.
News broke quite early that Richard Thomas had left his role as the head of the academy. Now, rumours started to say that he'd been sacked and he was pushed out and all the rest of it, but we can confirm that he left of his own accord. We got told quite early on that he was leaving to go as Kevin Nolan's number two at Notts County, but obviously we wanted to make sure that that was actually going to happen. So Notts County confirmed it at 6 o'clock that evening, which is a bit of an unusual time to announce it, but we wish Richard all the very best of luck and thanks for everything you've done in nurturing the next generation of talent at Leyton Orient Football Club. So good luck to you, except when we play you in February. And yeah, thanks for everything.
Yeah, so the club also announced that the Morecambe game, which was postponed Saturday 21st of January, will now be played on Tuesday the 7th of February. Then TFL promptly announced there will be a tube strike on that date. So
I bet they were just watching the hashtag LOFC.
So that's next Tuesday, 7:45 kickoff. Wrap up warm because it'll probably be a cold one.
It will be. In the evening, the club, this is still Friday, the club announced that Michael Collins has agreed a new contract until the end of the season. Collins told LeightonOrient.com there was one or two alternative options that came up, but having been here now for 3 months and got a feel for the place, I'm happy to be staying. I'll come back to that in a second. I love a challenge, and there are a lot of people on the outside writing us off and pointing a finger at the club, but that doesn't really matter to me. As professionals, we have to concentrate on ourselves, and I think that we've got enough bodies within the group who have that mentality. People can write us off, but that did not affect my decision, and having sat down with my family to discuss the options that were on the table, I decided that right now I want to take advantage of this challenge and help the club pull away from where it is. Now, I'm not sure if, and I don't really want to dwell on this for too long, people on the outside writing us off. I hope he's not having a dig at us or any of the stuff that we've put out. But
I don't think he listens, mate.
And also him saying about alternatives, but I've got a feel for the place. I'm happy to be staying. Like, if I was him, I'd have gone.
I guess it depends how much money you're being offered. I don't know what the other options were. We heard there was something that concrete from Malaysia, but I don't know if he would have been getting.
I don't know about that.
I don't know how good the money would be out there. So your thoughts on Collins?
Delighted that he's staying, really. Relieved that he's signed. I think he's done very well for us. My question is, as I mentioned earlier, why does he want to stay in the madhouse if he had other offers? But you say, if he's not had as much money and he just sticks it out for another 6 months.
Yeah, well, it's only the end of the season, isn't it? So I guess he can kind of go on from there, can't he? For me, yeah, I think Collins has done well. Don't think he's been outstanding, but I think he's done well, and it's another body in the squad and another competition for places. And yeah, I think everybody will be happy with this. We got quite a few tweets in after he signed. We just picked two to talk about. So firstly, from @LOFC1978, who says, "Hats off to Collins, especially with other offers on the table. Exactly the sort of attitude we need."
Yeah, Kevin Cowland said, "Delighted. Hats off to him. It would have been easy to walk away. Shows real courage and he's up for the fight." And that, for me, sums up everything up. So fair play, Michael Collins. Potential favourite new player for me.
Yeah.
Which is really fickle of me, but...
It is very fickle of you, mate.
Nigel Atangana's my man, but I like the attitude.
So moving on to Saturday, 28th of January, The under-18s lost 1-0 against Luton in their first match without Richard Thompson. So I think it's Thomas. only the second defeat of the season. Yeah. And Luton have got a good little setup there. So even on paper, you're probably thinking, oh, Richard's gone and they've already lost. That was quite a hard game anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Moving on to the afternoon, the senior team played Mansfield away, and joining us now live on the phone is the probably semi-retired now Orient chauffeur Cliff, who actually went to the game. Cliff, welcome aboard, mate. How are you?
I'm good, guys. And yourself?
All good, thank you, buddy. All good. So the team lined up with Chisak in goal, Hunt, Mezogay, Parks and Kennedy with a defence, Massey, Moore, Collins and Semedo with the midfield, with McCallum and Dalby up front, Sargent, Clark, Judd, Atangana, Moncur, Adebayejo and Palmer were on the bench. Cliff, your initial thoughts on that lineup when you saw it?
Well, me personally, I think that's sort of like our strongest starting 11. Maybe Palmer up front instead of Dalby, but I think that is basically our strongest team, our starting 11.
Cool.
Especially with the form that Nidal's been in recent weeks, I thought, yeah, you know what I mean, it was a positive squad put out to play Mansfield.
Yeah, I thought two central midfielders with two wings would be good. The bench is very young, though.
Yeah,
lacking experience. But I thought it was decent considering our lack of depth, and I think rather than get all complicated doing 4-1-2-3s and all the funky stuff, just keep it a flat 4-4-2, I think it's probably a safe bet.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Edwards would go 4-2-3-1, so I was actually quite pleasantly surprised, because 4-4-2 is more attacking. Decent looking team on paper, a few different options on the bench. Well done to Michael Clark, who made his bench debut, I believe. I don't think he's been there before, so good to see. So again, loads of tweets come in. Just mentioned one or two that we've got. At Vince Howard says, the best we could put out, and good that everyone is available for selection.
Yeah, Janine Edelman tweeted saying, big up to see Robbie Weir in his crutches at Mansfield sitting in the crowd with us.
Good sign. Good to see Robbie Weir getting involved there with the crowd. So match kicked off. Fourth minute, Cliff almost went one down as Hunt's back pass was a bit short, to say the least. Colt Hurst got there first. Ball came out to Rose, who poked it wide. Bit of a let off there, do you reckon?
We were a bit lucky on that one, but he sort of got scrambled away in the end. But it was an early opportunity for Mansfield that they sort of really had scored with. But it was just another sort of lackluster pass back to Cusack.
Yeah. Okay, and then 8 minutes later in the 12th minute, Alex Chisak pulled off a pretty good save to push Benning's shot wide of the far post following a quick free kick. Did we switch off a bit there, Cliff?
Well, we just seemed to... They were putting the ball down a lot, down like our right wing. So the quick free kick sort of definitely caught was out. And it was a good save by Cusack at the end to put it out for a corner.
Yeah, he seemed to do well then. And then 28th minute, Benning played the ball through to Colt first in the area, took a touch before dragging the shot well wide. So it seems like they're a bit wasteful up front.
Yeah, they did have, like in the first half, a lot of opportunities, but didn't really sort of, apart from the earlier time, sort of got Cusack under much pressure at the time.
So he wasn't challenged that much, but it seems that they had quite a lot of the possession.
Yeah. The stats sort of speak for themselves at half time. You know, I mean, they had 60% of possession, but we seemed to give away a lot of free kicks as well that sort of broke up the play as well.
What was the feeling in the away end? So obviously you were there. I think there was about 280 away fans. What was the general atmosphere like during the first half?
it was just like we got away with that. Basically, we were lucky to be 0-0, considering the possession they had. Like I said, there was sort of no atmosphere from the away fans at all. No singing, no chanting, etc. But it was a positive in another way that we were winning 0-0, and you think, well, come out second half stronger and better and sort of go and push on from there looking for the goal.
Yeah, so like you said, half time went in at 0-0. It was interesting actually, during half time at 0-0, we got a few DMs and a few tweets saying, we're going to concede in the first 10 minutes here, it'll be typical. And we'll come on to that in a minute. So attendance announced at 3,925 for 279 away fans. No changes for the O's in the second half, so as it was. And then just 3 minutes into the second half.
Yeah, no sooner. And I was listening to this on Orient Player as well. So just 3 minutes into the second half, we conceded a goal as Whiteman's shot spanked it straight into the top corner. That was I've seen that two or three times now. No one really at fault for that, Cliff, in my view.
Well, no, I mean, the ball come over. It was cleared by McCallum. He was sort of in the middle of the area, and it was just cleared of their area. Cleared out like it was on the edge of the box, followed it in. You know, in no time for Cusack, bam, 1-0. So, couldn't really fault no one for that goal. So,
yeah,
you know, and it was a good strike, to be fair to their player.
I guess it was just disappointing to go behind so early in the second half. But like you said, no one's fault for that. Decent defending. Ball came out to their man who just smacked it in. No chance for Chizak. And
he smacked it through a crowded penalty box as well. So,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, luck's on your side when you're doing all right. And when you're at the bottom, it's not on your side. So
yeah, and a bit of a stat coming from Dave Victor, Matt Hiscox, who said, we've conceded 40 goals this season and 10 have come within the first 5 minutes of the second half. So that's one quarter of all our goals being conceded between the 45th and 50th minute. I mean, that is a shocking stat.
That's an alarming stat.
That's a crazy stat.
Yeah.
So, moving on. In the 53rd minute, Gavin Massey got shown a yellow card for a foul on the far side.
Probably a bit unnecessary to give it away.
Maybe a bit of frustration there, Cliff.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I think we gave too many free kicks away. So, Massey getting booked and, like, the other bookings in the game, you knew they were coming because you can't continue with the foul, the opposition, without yellow cards to come.
Yeah, and in 53rd minute, almost 2-0, Scott's first volley came back off the post. I mean, that was a great effort. He hit that sweetly. I mean, the only concern for me there was that came from our throwing. Nicky Hunt threw it. We lost the header, it was on header, and then 2 seconds later, they smacked the post.
Cliff, do you remember that?
Yeah. It was just before the second goal. We sort of picked up the ball, looked up, took a shot. Cusack was well beaten, and he's hit plumb square onto the post and come out. And we, lucky enough, he sort of come to one of our players and we cleared it. But we were lucky not to go 2-0 down then. But a couple of minutes later, obviously the goal come. So
yeah,
we could have been 3-0 down within 8 minutes of the start. The second half.
Like you said, the goal came. Danny Rose made it 2-0 as he slid in at the back post after a decent cross into our box, but got Chizak kind of in no man's land. Ball across the face of the goal. Danny Rose 2-0. I thought that was quite a poor goal to concede defensively. I think Nicky Hunt might have been able to do better.
That was Callum.
What, to cut out?
No, to who was marking the guy who slid in.
Oh, okay. I thought that was Nicky Hunt. Okay. What are your thoughts on that one, Cliff?
Well, it was his total static marking. If you watch it, he pulled the ball behind, like, the line of our defenders, put it on Cousy. It's one of them ones that you come out for it, don't you come out as a keeper, and he just slid in at the back, 2-0 to us. You know what I mean? We just basically were ball watching, letting that ball to come in. We never closed that player down, and it was a good cross across our area to the far post. And it was an easy goal in the end, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I've seen players put them wide into the side netting at times as well. It was quite an acute angle. So, again, when your luck's down, it really goes against you. But when you're in the ascendancy, you know, things like that, you know, he could have hit the post, he could have hit the side netting, he could have just completely, he could have hit it against, I'm pretty sure it's Callum Kennedy, because it was on our left side. But it's just one of those things. It's just sod's law, isn't it? It's just, if it can go against you, it will.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that, but he was always going to win that ball. You know what I mean? Kennedy was always struggling to sort of clear the ball, and you knew their player was going to reach the ball, and you'd have been
Cusack
in no man's land. You know, if he reached it, it was
going
to be a goal.
So 57th minute, Palmer, Dean came on to replace Sam Dorby. How did Dorby get on?
It wasn't effective at all. We never put the ball out wide enough, especially to Matty, so he never really had the service to. It was very frustrating for himself, as well as McCallum out front, not getting any kind of service whatsoever.
Yeah, and McCallum obviously gets booked in the 63rd minute for catching Collins late, so maybe a bit of frustration there with Paul that couldn't get into the game. And it seems like Mansfield went on to have a few more chances as the game went on.
So we're now coming up to like the 70th minute, Cliff, and I'm not really hearing of us having many chances, but Mansfield having a few and us just being a bit niggly, giving away fouls and whatnot. Right? Have I got that right?
Yeah, you're right. In the second half, we just basically did nothing. We were just chasing the game. Obviously, when the first goal went in, our heads went down even more. Then the second one went in quickly afterwards. It was just like we were just playing the game out with no really idea of how to get back into the game. And tactically-wise, we were just inept, to be honest.
Okay.
Not using Massey on the wings. I mean, nothing, to be honest. It was just, we were outplayed, outsmarted by a team, like you said, were full of confidence.
Yeah,
to say. We were the exact opposite.
76 minute though, we almost got back into it. Samado's cross, headed over by McCullum. Was that a decent chance?
No, not really. To be honest, if he got it on target, he would have done extremely well. He put in a good ball, but McCullum was being challenged by one of their players. He sort of had his back more towards the back of the, like towards the goal. So for him to get a header in and to get it on, he did well to get a header in, to be honest, but to be on target as well, he would have done really well, to be honest.
Yeah,
but,
okay.
So, it was a very difficult time, but hence, you know, it's still a chance.
Yeah, and when when chances are so limited in a game, like I think Dave Victor said, you need to be taking them. But just 4 minutes later in the 80th minute, a yellow card comes out for Sammy Moore. And then in the 83rd minute, a good save from Alex Chizak as he got down quite low. Well, he got down low to hold Whiteman's shot as well, and that was quite a good save as well.
Yeah, I mean it was a good save by Kuzak, who was to be honest very good during the game, and he had to be at his best, to be honest, to make it just 2-0 in the end.
And a bit of a scary moment in the 89th minute as McCullum landed awkwardly and went down, and massive concern as he gets stretched off of Victor Adebayejo. Thoughts on McCullum? Did it look like a bad one? Apparently he yelled quite loudly, and it was.
Yeah, the ball came up high, like the high ball up to him. He was sort of, it was a yard outside the area, but in the D, like dead centre of the goal. He's jumped up with the defender, so he's either landed awkwardly and done his ankle, or he's landed and the defender's then landed on him, and that's what's going on, and then he's fell. Straight away, you knew he was in trouble. Even one of the Mansfield players was calling on our physio straight away.
Goalkeeper.
He had like 2 minutes, 2-odd minutes of treatment. They brought on a stretcher, you know, the plastic stretchers they have.
Yeah.
First of all, initially he was waved away, and then he tried standing up. He took 2 steps, and that was it. He was even finished, and hence carried off. It did look pretty bad. So hopefully, you know, the news is good on that,
so
he'll be back in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I hope so. 3 minutes of addition in 3 minutes into the 5 additional injury time minutes. Kennedy, we get a free kick just outside the box, and Callum Kennedy comes close he hits the free kick into the wall, and then follows up with a shot that just sort of pinged the outside of the post and sort of comfortably went out.
Yeah, in the 97th minute.
That free kick was the initial foul on McCullum.
Oh yeah,
that was basically the last play of the game, and he hit it hard at the wall. He comes back to him, he sort of scuffed it a little bit, and he had the keeper well beat, and it just went wide and caught the outside of the post, and that was probably our closest chance of the whole game, 90 odd minutes into the game of actually scoring.
Yeah, and a bit more injury time was played. Green got the better of Mezzagain, scuffed a shot wide of the far post, and not long after that, the full-time whistle goes, 2-0 defeat, and winless run in 2017 continues. So,
yeah,
go on, Cliff.
Yeah, I was going to say, the game was just played out, and then at the end, you know, when there was a few boos from the Orient fans, which, to be honest, after that performance, I wasn't surprised at.
Yeah, okay. So then Andy Edwards after the match had to say, "We're looking up now and in the bottom two, which is more than a major concern. We haven't won enough. are conceding too many and haven't created enough chances on goals after half time. It's unexplainable. We have looked at it and the right things are said at half time, and the players say the right things at half time. We have to focus and know what we're going to do with the ball, but we continue to concede, which is a difficult one to understand. It's psychological as much as anything.
How'd you tap into that? What'd you say to that? Dulcet Dave tweeted after the match, Andy explained that Parks and Kennedy are no longer on the transfer list, but Alex Chisak still is, but he couldn't say why, which to me is really baffling.
Very strange, really baffling. Very strange one.
So the league table, that defeat meant we slipped down to 23rd and occupy one of the relegation spots for the first time this season, as Notts County won and Cheltenham drew to leapfrog us. We are now in a position where we've played 27 games. We've won 7, drawn 4, lost 16. We've got a minus 13 goal difference and we sit with 25 points. Concerningly, Newport also won, which means if they win next week and we lose, I think we will be bottom.
Yes. So we'll come on to next week's fixtures in a bit because that fixture isn't looking good. So we'll come up to Cliff to give us his roundup. So Cliff, you sent us quite a good email, which we haven't obviously referred to because you're on the line, but you made some good points about positives from the performance and negatives from the performance. So can you remember what the positive, I think you had, did you say there were any positives or you couldn't find any positives?
Well, I think one of the positives was obviously Kuzek's performance. I think he's got a point there, especially being put on the transfer list. 2-0 sort of flattered us because it could have easily been 4-5-0. Moore played quite well in the first half. He sort of picked up the ball a bit, but couldn't really create nothing. It's quite a small pitch at Mansfield. Mansfield's a very small ground because they've only got 3 sides to the ground, so it's quite a small pitch. So it's very crowded in midfield. So it was quite effective in the first half, but not effective in the second. And the other positive was Liam Kelly was travelled up with the team and was on the pitch warming up before the match. So kicking the ball about a bit, warming up. So that was good to see.
That'll be like a new signing when he returns. I mean, we've missed him a lot since he's been absent from the team. We missed his goal scoring from centre mid, missed his link-up play. It'd be interesting to see how soon he can get back in the team. Obviously, will he play with Collins? Will he play with Asangana? Will he play with Moore in the middle? Do we play 3 in the middle? I'm sure these are all questions that Danny, as we'll come on to a bit later, was thinking of. So you also, in your email, mentioned quite a few negatives. So do you want to give us your thoughts on the negative aspects of the game against Mansfield?
Like I said earlier, we seem to have started with what I believe is our strongest side, probably with the exception of Dolby starting instead of Palmer. Straight from the start, we just seemed to be down, not up for the game. We clearly got no confidence at all, absolute belief. There was no togetherness as a team, no leadership. There just seemed to be no pride in playing for the club, and professional pride. It was just like they were going through the motions. We are a team at the moment of individuals and not a togetherness, and that clearly showed yesterday. On Saturday. Also, I know Andy Edwards is gone, and he sort of summed it up on Saturday when Andy Edwards just stood on the touchline for the whole 90 minutes with his arms crossed. There was no jeering up at the players, there was no waving, no shouting, no nothing. He just stood there with his arms crossed. It was a bit strange with the Orient fans as well, because there was no singing, no chanting, no nothing, which is the first time I've ever seen that from the Orient fans. So that's a negative. So there are a lot of negatives, purely and so, it was just basically a pathetic performance by the team, and 2-0 was a flattering score in the end.
Wow. Top man, thank you very much for coming on, Cliff, and for giving us your views.
Right,
where we can't get there, it's always good to know and hear from people that have actually been. So appreciate you coming on, mate, and I'll speak to you soon.
Okay, speak to you soon, guys.
Cheers, Cliff.
Take care. Bye, mate. Bye.
So that was Cliff reporting on the Mansfield game. So if you go to away games and you want to come on the podcast, let us know, and we'll get you on very soon to talk about an away game that we can't make. It'd be great to hear from you. So get in contact with us on Twitter @OrientOutlook or via email. at OrientOutlook at Outlook.com. So those were Cliff's views. So Mr. Levy, your views on Saturday?
Yeah, devastating loss really. His Notts County win means we're 23rd. Conceding so soon into the second half has been a reoccurring theme this season. It really needs dealing with whatever the answer is. Genuinely now concerned that we won't survive. I can't understand why Bichetti hasn't supported Andy with players, and the transfer window closes Tuesday night. It's really getting quite desperate now. In Andy's post-match press conferences, he sounds dejected when he's saying he doesn't know why Alex hasn't come off the, arguably our best player this season, why Alex hasn't come off the transfer list, and why Tom and Callum have. You know, just I don't know what he's protecting or and why, but it's just all really, really toxic and really sour behind the scenes there. And it's just, there's only so much you can really take being an employee and being a fan of the club, because we have to pay for this.
Yeah, I mean, for me it was a disappointing defeat. Again, sounds like we offered very little, and the match playing out like so many others have done already this season. The first half, you know, stalemate, we're getting it 0-0, think, oh, if we can get nick a goal here, we'll nick a 1-0, but within 10 minutes of the second half, you know, find ourselves behind, chasing the game, still offering very little going forward. The injury to McCallum was obviously a great concern, but doesn't seem too bad, hopefully, yeah. So that's not too bad. But, you know, if we lose Chizak in this transfer window, and no disrespect to the young keepers that we've got from Sam Sargent and Charlie Granger, I mean, that will be a massive, massive loss. And, you know, like you said, the fact he's still on that transfer list, just mental. But the senior players, you know, we do have senior players in this squad, and now is the time they have to step up and be counted. So loads of views. So obviously we've heard from Cliff, got loads of emails in. So another email that we received was an email from Dennis Scott.
Yep. Dennis says, that was a bad performance as I've ever seen from an Orient team. I fully understand how the toxic atmosphere at the club off the field must make it difficult to manage, but Edwards has had long enough now to make his mark and he has not. As far as the management of the club is concerned, another example surfaced yesterday when Edwards said Parks and Kennedy had been taken off the transfer list. Why is that now changed? Also, when Dave Victor asked about the transfer list, Edwards said he wasn't sure who was on the list. He said, I think. What sort of an answer is that? As for on-field tactics, Edwards is just not up to it. He is negative and unable to change tactics mid-game or motivate the team. Let me give you evidence for making that statement. Yesterday, we had three kickoffs, one from the start of the game and the other two came after conceding goals. Exactly the same move was played out. McCallum takes the kickoff, back to Parks, who hoofs it out to our right, nowhere near a red shirt, and straight out for a throw, level roughly with their penalty area. Once is a mistake, but to repeat it identically twice more is just unforgivable. Negativity is that Chisak was wasting time from the outset, leading to the impression that a 0-0 draw would be good. We conceded 5 corners. On every one, we had all 11 of our players back in the penalty area. If it was 0-0 with 5 minutes to go, that would be understandable. But when losing 2-0 and still employing the same tactics shows no appetite for positivity at all. And he ends by saying, I really do despair after yesterday. So, Den, thanks very much for that. And I think he went with Cliff. So, yeah. All good. Thank you very much indeed.
Yeah, so we got loads of tweets that we'll move on to now. So, firstly, from @PaulLTP2 says, how many non-special teams have we been beaten by now? I think we're so low on other teams, I can't see any way out. And that's something that you've said quite a few times on the podcast before, but teams not really playing at their best to beat us. They just nicking a goal. They have to do, yeah.
Nicking a goal. In the first 2 months of the season, people were nicking goals, cheap goals. Portsmouth, I remember, nicking a cheap goal. Can't remember.
Newport.
Mansfield. Edwin, yeah. Newport, yeah. They've all done it. Orient Boys says, 5 away defeats in a row, 4 defeats in a row. In 2017, no shots on target and little possession. No fight soon, no league status.
Well, at SteveDF1 says, have to keep supporting the team, but it's hard to see how we get out the bottom two with this bare-bone squad.
Yeah, at Richie J. Bourne tweeted saying, you may not have much of a team, but you can at least show some fight. How many of you are up for a relegation fight? ... Not many.
At Daniel_Slaw says, dreadful. Players have to start taking some responsibility for performances. Negative tactics from Edwards again. I mean, there was a few, we haven't included all our tweets that we got, but there's a few about Edwards' negative tactics in the build-up to the game.
Yep, absolutely. At Wings Mad said it would be much easier to stay up than come up. It would be a massive relegation. Andy must be allowed to strengthen.
That was a great point there, actually.
It was, yeah.
David Medjic said another depressing journey home. Didn't have any proper chance until the 90th minute. 279 fans spending good money for what?
At Only One Team said the fact no players are coming in and injuries on top is going to impact too much. Every game is a cup final now.
At Bill Fleet, he said, it's terrible, the current situation. FB isn't the best owner, but week after week, it's the players who are letting the O's fans down.
David Yu said, 4 out of the next 6 games are at home. Win the home games and it will look a lot better. ... And in big capital letters, stop laughing, everyone.
Yeah, interesting point. Our home form has been better in the last couple of weeks. We'll see on that one. David TH 64301889 said, we are that bad. Their centre half had 2 bobs and twice went for a shot and we still couldn't score.
Yeah.
So that was in relation to their centre half running off the pitch twice to go and take a dump. And
was it
going on? Yeah.
I didn't hear about that. No.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll come back to that after. Right, Paul's lost it, so I'll carry on.
No, it's fine, but that's brilliant. No, I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's the first I've heard of it. Shows you how on the button I am. Alex Chizak is the most consistent performer over the last 2 seasons. Perhaps he spoke out of turn. Can't be listed for football reasons.
Yeah, great point.
That's a very, 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 very good point.
At Les_Brister. So the poor performance from today from the O's. Stayed in it in the first half, but another slow start to the second half. 2-0 down and out of it. No fight, no cohesion, no plan, no hope. Regretting looking increasingly like a team bound for relegation. Who can we beat? ?
Yeah, there you go. That's a really good question. At Ian K. Richardson yesterday... said yesterday, as bad as it got following LOFC, now just down to heart and I don't think we've got any left.
Yeah, and we got a very late message from John Macca. So I hope you had a nice holiday, John, in Lapland, who says, evening fellas, just want to send a quick message as I wasn't at the game on Saturday. I'm gutted that in the space of a week we have lost 2 great men in Andy Edwards and Richard Thomas, and along with the comments from Jay Simpson last week in your fantastic interview, you have to wonder who actually wants to be at the club. After the ridiculous statement from the club, I sensed a change in attitude from fans on social media. It seemed to galvanise everyone. There was a much more positive attitude. Unfortunately, the game versus Morecambe was postponed. We now have 2 massive home games in the next week. Us, the fans, need to build that positive attitude again, ready for these 2 games, because as Jay said, morale was on the floor, and it is us, the fans, that must get behind the team and make an atmosphere just like the Plymouth game. We showed that night that when players and fans unite, we become a different proposition. We've just forgotten what that's like. We're not down yet, and then it's time to turn it around, up the O's. So yeah. Thank you to John for that message, and thanks to all the tweets we received after the Mansfield game.
Yep, Prediction League update now, so we move on. At Harlow Orion, at The Authentic Gaz, at O's Fan Basing, at LOFC 1978. Well done to you guys who predicted a 2-0 loss. So the way it looks now, at Nino Barone 27 is top, at Joe_Pavitt is second, at O's Fan Basing moves up to third, and at MP Allen 222 slips down to fourth. Full table up on our Facebook page, so search Facebook Orient Outlook Podcast and you will see us there. So have a look at the table.
Yeah, and the Fantasy Football League update, no update because there's no Premiership, but there's 2 round of matches this week. I believe there's midweek and Saturday, so
tomorrow,
could all change in the Fantasy Football League. So Sunday 29th of January, nothing happened, and the podcast will end here.
Now, Sunday the 29th, we did a couple of polls. The first one we asked, do you think Leighton Orient will be relegated?
Yeah.
The results were 263 votes were cast, 82% of you saying yes, we would be relegated. Just 18% said no.
I was quite surprised by that.
I thought it would be a bit more.
I thought it would be like 65-35, but massive numbers for yes. And we also asked, this was on Sunday morning, if Andy Edwards was the right choice for manager following some criticism regarding tactics. So obviously following the Mansfield game, first time I think Edwards has been heavily criticised for his tactics and for being a bit lacklustre on the touchline. Like Cliff said, his arms were folded, he wasn't shouting instructions. So we had 233 votes for that. 61% of you said yes, but 39% no. And I thought that would be, I don't think it would be that close. I thought it would be much more in Andy's favour. But a very interesting Twitter poll there. So thanks to everyone who voted as part of the Twitter poll.
Yep. Now, I was out yesterday with friends. I didn't have particularly great signal. So my phone was in my pocket, and I think you were out and about as well.
Yep.
So we weren't expecting anything to happen. We hadn't heard of anything.
Nothing.
And then at around 2 o'clock, the club suddenly announced that Andy Edwards had resigned as manager. And part of Andy's goodbye statement reads, and unsurprising that he was allowed to give such a statement, considering Dean Cox didn't get anything, and they're not particularly favourable in giving write-ups to people that have been with the club a while. It says, It is with regret that I have made the decision to stand down as manager of Leyton Orient Football Club. It has been a very difficult decision, but I feel that it is in the best interest of my career and my family. I have been offered and duly accepted a role working within the coaching department of the Football Association. He goes on to thank people and wish the club success for the future.
So yeah, so as soon as we were kind of getting over that one, and we'll come on to our views and offers on that in a little bit. But around 3:30, the club swiftly announced that Andy's assistant, Danny Webb, has been appointed manager until the end of the season. So the club wasted no time in appointing 33-year-old Danny Webb. So for the first time, I think, in our lives, we're older than the Leyton Orient manager. How old do you feel now?
Yeah, I know. I think Andy's resignation, for me, caught the club a little bit by surprise. Either that or they just hadn't really planned it because, you know, they appointed Danny like an hour and a half later. So I don't know if it's either bad planning or it was a bit of out of the blue and Andy had sort of kept it under his hat for quite some time. I honestly don't know. But, you know, you have to sort of ask yourself what manager with any pedigree and reputation would really want to come to this shambles of a club. You know, they've got the transfer window open till Tuesday night. No one's allowed to come in, but people are allowed to leave the club. We've freed up a fair few quid on the wage bill by, you know, releasing players.
Yeah.
But, you know, good luck to Danny. He's going to need it. Tough first job for him. From what I understand, he's a very strong character, very strong-minded. It's going to carry him well to be like that, to know what he wants and to demand of the players. Hopefully he'll be, you know, animated and won't be standing there very passively on the sidelines. Obviously, tough first job, but, you know, he'll be a hero if he keeps us up.
Absolutely, yeah. For me, you know, disappointing to lose Andy. I think he was only in charge for 9 games.
Yeah.
It's permanent. But a great opportunity for him. So, you know, all we can do is wish him well. You know, he obviously leaves on good terms, like you put out the statement that you've just read. And yeah, I mean, you know, does this explain why nobody came in? You know, why he couldn't have been players in? Is this move, for me, like you said, you think it happened quickly. I don't. I don't think you just apply for a job at the FA and get it. I think it would have been a process.
I agree with that.
And I think, could this explain why? It probably doesn't. But could it add more to the story about, you know, at FB going, well, I'm not going to bring your players to the club because you can't 100% guarantee me that you're not going to be here. Maybe it's just a theory that I don't know.
That's a really good point.
And also, it's the swiftness of Danny's appointment to me makes it seem like they had a contingency plan if Andy was going, which is why I think this must have been planned. But logistically, you know, Danny's Webb appointment makes sense. Knows the club, knows the players, knows the situation. You know, and they know him. Be interesting to see who Danny brings in as his number two. I've seen a few calls for a former friend of the show, well, not former friend of the show, friend of the podcast, Errol McKellar. Could Errol come in as number two? That'd be incredible if it could. Or does it go with someone with bags of experience? I think a few people mentioned Danny Webb's dad, who obviously used to be a manager in his own right. So it'd be interesting to see who Danny sticks in, because Danny is the last one, like, left. You know,
yeah, he kind of is.
It would have been Richard Thomas.
Yeah, it would have been, yeah.
You know, coming in to assist Danny, but Richard Thomas isn't here anymore. You know, I did see FB take a lot of stick over this one for Andy leaving, but, you know, I don't think you can pin this on FB. As much as what we can pin on FB, I don't think you can pin this one on FB. But as always, we wish Danny all the luck in the world and we'll support him. You know, with the tweet we put out last night, had a lot of action on it. You know, great to see, and everyone is backing Danny as much as they can.
I will say it probably has a lot to do with Francesco Bichetti, Vito and Rob, in the sense that they've made... just playing devil's advocate here, that they've made his job almost untenable for him.
They have.
Because they won't give him any players. But that's probably because he's told them... Well, I don't know. Would Andy tell them, I'm looking for another
job? I don't know, but you've got to think that... Andy's gone to work with the FA, you know. In 2-3 years, if Andy keeps progressing, he'll be coaching the England under-21 side. You know. And as much as we love Leyton Orient, that's a great job offer. Without knowing too much specifically what Andy's going into, I feel that he would have gone regardless of whether he or a more stable club. I think the opportunity was too good to turn down. Hopefully one day soon we'll get Andy on the podcast and we can ask him about it. Yeah. We'll speak to him. It'd be great to get that done.
I think I read it's regional. The way that the FA have set up at St George's Park is that they're doing it sort of regionally. So I think he's going to be in charge of a region and coaching players in this new setup that they've got, because obviously we've been rubbish at World Cups and Euros.
Yeah absolutely.
So the FA have sort of torn up all the old books and written a whole new one, and I think he's forming part of a reasonably new team.
Yeah, so
there. So those were our views.
Yeah, loads of your views coming. So again, apologies if we can't mention all your views. We've got so many in, and we're going to try and keep this podcast at an hour. So let's see how we get on.
Yeah.
So firstly, from @Josh_Landy, who says January 29th, Leyton Orient FC have now had more managers 4 than home wins 3 this season. Club is becoming unrecognisable. I mean, that's just a crazy stat, isn't it?
Unbelievable. Uncle_Paulie_82. God help him. Good luck, Danny. You're going to need it.
@LeeKinsley2 says, come on, Danny. Rally the lads and let's play some football with heart and passion. And I mean, that's what we want to see.
100%. Like I've said all along, can take losing the game as long as you try hard and just unlucky. I am Jay Snelling said, it's down to the players now. Everyone has to put in 100% until the end of the season. Blood, sweat and hopefully no tears.
Yeah, Boatsy says, big job for Danny, but can only hope he can get us out of it.
Magnus Pugner tweeted saying, looks like things won't change soon, so let's get right behind them every game. #DannyWebb's Red and White Army. Who knows?
Yeah, Philip Tissinto says, let's forget about protesting and get behind him and the team.
Jay Pittle tweeted saying, could Danny Webb be the new Eddie Howe? Could Orient be the next Bournemouth? No chance.
Yeah.
I will say though, Exeter were where we were. Yeah. They went on a 10-game run, and look, they're pushing for playoffs. Now, obviously, that's not going to happen to us, but it can happen.
Of course it can. @AlanAVM1502 says, if Danny saves us, I think he will be the biggest hero the club's ever had. Hopefully, get some energy into the team.
Yeah, top-notch tweet.
No, Danny's young, but you've got all these young managers coming through at the moment. Obviously, Eddie Howe's been mentioned. You've got
Carl Robinson.
Carl Robinson.
It's only mid-30s.
Yeah, but you've got people like, what's his name? The guy at Bristol City, Lee Johnson's come up. So, you know, there could be some beginning point in these young guys who are coming through.
Yeah, exactly. @M0PHO, no disrespect to Danny, but I feel this is the last nail in the coffin for LOFC. Don't know where we go from here. Wow.
@Brownie1956 says, I have known Danny for a long time. Under an experienced manager, he will develop. But this is the kiss of death for him and the club.
@Barry Mittelman, the swiftness of Webb's appointment suggests the club were aware of the Edwards situation for a while.
Yeah, I would agree there with Barry. @GaryTorbert7 says, it had to be Danny with the state we were in. Hopefully everyone pulls together and we get the 6 wins to stay up.
Caroline13B, very best of luck to Danny. Not the first time we've said this, but here we go again. So let's support and back him to save us.
And the final word goes to JWLRH, who says, at least Orient are sacking managers before the @OrientOutlook podcast have recorded. #Progress.
Yeah.
Great tweet there. So good to
Brilliant
see.
Brilliant tweet.
Good to see it all happen on Sunday, not Monday after the podcast comes out. So thanks again for all your tweets. You know, they were all tweets to @OrientOutlook, and there's loads, there's just as many that we couldn't mention as what we have. So thanks again for all the tweets that we got from you over the weekend.
Absolutely. The women's team were back in action on Sunday as well. They drew 3-3 with Crawley due to 2 late Crawley goals. So they were 3-1 up, but conceded late.
Yeah.
So never mind, it's still doing well, the ladies.
Yeah, still top of the league.
Still
going
to have to get down there.
Absolutely, yeah. So Monday 30 for January, which is today. Paul McCullum puts up a cryptic tweet suggesting his injury doesn't seem to be as bad as he first feared, and we all did. So fingers crossed, and we wish Paul well, and hopefully he'll be back on that pitch sooner rather than later.
Yep, George Session confirmed that Liam Kelly, remember him?
Yeah.
Yep, our midfielder who got injured back in October, is due to start training at some point this week. That's massive news, and we can't wait to see Liam back in an OSHA. I think he was due to be back training last week, but because the training ground pitches were frosted over and they went to train on 3G pitches, the medical team, apparently Andy said that didn't want him running on hard surfaces.
Good point. So that is a weekly roundup done. So moving on to the positives and negatives. So we have actually found 3 positives. Amazing.
Yeah.
So firstly, good appointment of Danny Webb. You know, we wouldn't want to be managerless. So great that we've appointed Danny Webb so quickly. Second, Callum Kennedy and Tom Park staying. You know, it's 2 experienced players who we need at the club. You know, players have been very short on supply, so good to see them staying. And thirdly, we just mentioned it, Liam Kelly, he looks like he'll be back soon. And again, you know, massive. So
yeah,
there are positives, albeit
only
many.
Three. But yep. Negatives, Andy Edwards leaving. We've slipped to 23rd. Other teams around us are all picking up points and obviously making numerous signings.
They are, yeah.
Looks like Alex Chisak is on his way out the club. We've obviously lost Richard Thomas and obviously Paul McCallum's injury. So quite a number of severe negatives, unfortunately, there this week. But we do have a hero of the week
this week, as always.
We're very pleased to be able to announce this.
It's a good day, mate. Well done, Alex Chisak. Oh, Cusack. So well done, Alex Chisak, for being a hero of the week. And hopefully Alex will still be at the club by the time we do the next podcast. So obviously he's still on the transfer list, and all we can do is hope that he stays. So next week's fixtures, just the one fixture next week, as we entertain high-flying Carlisle on Saturday 4th of February. So Carlisle, bit of a surprise package this season.
Yeah, I agree.
Currently third in the league after drawing 1-1 with Barnet on Saturday. So it'll be a very tough match. Obviously we welcome Jabbo back. Sean Brisley returns. Remember Sean Brisley from last season?
Is that where he's gone?
Yeah, but also their star player, Charlie or Peter White, is a forward and he's been linked with Bradford, so hopefully they'll sell him.
Peter White, of course.
Hopefully they'll sell him, if not already, hopefully they'll sell him by this time tomorrow.
Yeah.
So fingers crossed on that one.
Yeah. Also, the transfer window closes at 11 o'clock Tuesday night. This is obviously the last time this season that we can strengthen the team with players who are contracted with other clubs. So obviously loan signings won't be permissible outside of the window. So we can, of course, sign out of contract players that have been released within the appropriate time frame, not Dean Cox, obviously. That sort of situation wouldn't be permissible, but it's very desperate now. We're a threadbare squad. We have to make signings for reinforcement and for morale, really.
Yeah, so that's it. So I think we've done it, Paul. I think we're going to get this in under an hour.
Sub an hour.
Great work,
amazing.
So thanks for joining us for episode 92. So we say this every week, but yet again, it's been another crazy week. With another managerial change. So for us personally, you know, we've had a record number of listens this week from episode 91 and Jay Simpson combined. So again, thanks to everyone who has listened to the podcast and continues to do so. On the pitch, another lacklustre display and another defeat, which now plunged us in to the bottom two. So Andy Edwards leaving to take over the FA and Danny Webb getting promoted into the manager's role. Hopefully that'll be the last manager changeover in a while, but we're roaring these days.
You just never know, dear. So we're going to be back next week, all being well, with episode number 93. We will have all the information, views and news that you will ever need.
So we look forward to hearing from you. And as always, keep calm and listen to the Orient Outlook podcast. Up the O's.